two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic.
So you want to date someone who loves Donald Trump as much as you do? Well, guess what? You guessed it. There's an app for that. There's a website for that. Dave and I are talking with Erica Evans of the Deseret News. She did a big story about that. And you actually went online and registered for these dating sites.
Yeah, I did. I got on there. I matched with people. I talked to them. I asked them, why are you on this site? And it was really interesting.
What were some of the overall feelings? Why did they feel it necessary to go on a very exclusive political view dating site?
I mean, politics were clearly very important to these people. And for them, I think, you know, it would be a deal breaker if their partner didn't share those views. And they also felt that they had been discriminated against for their own views.
Yeah, the anti-Trump crowd, they're not subtle. I mean, can we admit that the anti-Trump crowd is not, oh, yeah, no, I didn't vote for him. It's death to anyone that voted for him.
This is really an interesting discussion, and for me, because I'm dating right now or trying to date, and this just never comes up on my radar when I'm trying to meet somebody. The things that come up on my radar in this order are, do you have a criminal history? Do you have a bad financial history, like a series of bankruptcies, maybe you don't pay taxes, you know, those kinds of things. Are you a good dad? And then do you like to laugh? I mean, if you say you have to laugh, you know, almost right out of the get-go, the first. I would never on a date say, did you vote for Trump? Did you vote for Obama? Did you vote for Mayor Jackie Biskupski? Did you vote for, you know, Sheriff so-and-so? That just does not register with me, and I don't know if that's a big deal or not.
I think a lot of it, you can look at those as being core beliefs. I think that's important. If you're looking for a relationship and you have a very strong feeling toward abortion, it's going to be hard to match with somebody and have a different point of view. These are some core beliefs, and I don't think it's unhealthy to try to match with people that believe the way you believe. Now, I think there is actually a benefit to having a mixed political relationship. So say you are super Republican and you marry someone that's super Democrat. A lot like Mary Matlin and James Carville, right? Two political pundits that have been married since the early 90s. How does it work? This is the lie that we're being fed, is that you are enemies if you are political opponents. And that is the lie right there. When you're married and you have completely different views, the thing I love about it is you can have a conversation and realize they're not coming from a position of hate, of racism, of anger, because you know that person. You give your spouse the benefit of the doubt and say you genuinely have a different view and a different idea. I'm not going to vilify you and make you a terrible person. I'm going to genuinely listen to your point of view. I might disagree with it, but at least I know it's not coming from a deep, dark, evil place, which is where we go politically. If you think differently than I do, then you are evil. You are awful.
Erica Evans from the Deseret News in the studio with us, and Andrew Hull, of course, our producer, just jumped in the booth with us as well because we were taking phone calls on this, but apparently we had a little problem with the phone line. So, but you heard the calls. They're just not audible to play on the air. What did the caller say?
Yeah, unfortunately, they're a little too choppy, but one caller was talking about how they knew a person who was on the dating scene who was just so not agreeable that there's no way that anybody would be reasonable to date them, right? And so I think that's that brings up an important point. You know, there's people who are going to be on these sites who have such deeply held beliefs. I think if you're on the Trump dating site, for example, and if you're going to a site specifically for these political views and you're only going to probably be dating someone who has those views, you might as well get those out of the way and start asking those questions immediately or be on that site, right?
So let's ask Eric Evans. You actually signed up for the site as a reporter and you told the people on the site that you were a journalist doing research. What was your experience with that?
Yeah, well, I love what Dave just said about, you know, finding that common ground. I think overall, our country could really benefit by a greater willingness for us to come together and see what we have in common instead of what really makes us different. But for the people on these sites, yeah, these, you know, their political beliefs are really important to them. You know, there was some interesting thing that I ran into was a lot of these men were looking for women who fit, you know, a certain traditional gender role. And they were anti-feminist. You know, that's not something I'm personally really interested in. So, you know, the fact that they put that out there lets me know maybe we're not a match.
So can they select that in one of the categories that they're looking for? Somebody who will be in that play? I want to say succumb because that's but that's not the right word. Will take on that role?
Yeah, people would write that kind of thing in their profile.
Okay, so they would make it clear up front.
Yeah.
That's what they were looking for.
Yes.
But we see that on Tinder all the time, right? Vote Trump, swipe left. Is that the right way? I can't remember.
Yeah, left is bad. Left is bad. I don't like you.
Vote of Trump, swipe right. I don't know what it is, but we're seeing that. People are putting that out. And I think what I don't like about that especially is it's immediately putting up a barrier of, oh, if you're not with me, you're against me. You know, can you imagine doing that? If you're not a jazz fan, don't even bother, friends, because in this house, it is all jazz all the time. Now, that actually, to me, is a little more reasonable than who your political party is. But no, I think too often we're taking this way too seriously. I think we're taking our political views and we're putting a little uranium in them and just setting it off and saying, all right, let's see what happens. Let's see how hot this gets.
Andrew, you were once dating. You're in a relationship now. Did you find, and you're young, I mean, you've been on the political scene. You've worked in politics already, even at your age. Did you find this to be a deal breaker for you or for the woman you were seeing at the time?
No, I mean, I don't think that politics necessarily came up too often when I was first, like, dating people or, like, on first dates. In fact, I think it's one of those unwritten rules of a first date that you aren't going to be talking about politics. But I did see what Dave was talking about, you know, people saying, if you're a Trump supporter, you better swipe left. Or if you don't support Trump, you better swipe left, right? And so, no, I don't think in my experience it came up too much. And I don't know that it would have been a deal breaker for me either way.
That conversation is awkward, though.
Oh,
when it does
sure.
come up, maybe it doesn't come up on the first date, but eventually you'll start talking about something. You'll start talking about immigration. You'll just sort of be feeling like, what kind of tone are they using? You know, I'm trying to feel out where they're coming from. And then you'll just sort of slip it in. So
you might sugarcoat it a little bit.
Do you like Trump's policies? Or,
do you wear red hats? Do you wear red hats with silly lettering? I don't know. Yeah.
And it could also, it's been more and more of an issue for me, is that now we're kind of thrust into this limelight as journalists as kind of being bad people based on the things that the president has said at the national level directed towards, you know, journalists at the network. But I have found that in some of these, you know, in these first dates or these conversations that I'm having, it's like, I just put that right out there. I am in the media. I have a radio talk show. I've been a journalist for almost 30 years now. And then if they're not interested, they can, I guess, swipe left.
Yes.
Anytime I think you're lumping people into groups, that's bad news. I think just in general, it's a bad practice to say, oh, you're part of this group, then that's who you are. We're so individual, and we have so many thoughts and nuances to who we are as individuals. I hate any time we stuff people in a box and we categorize them. Oh, you're a Trump supporter. Well, I know what that means. You have no idea what that means. Take some time. Have a conversation. Maybe it's not as crazy as you think. All right. Hey, thank you, Erica, for joining us. And, hey, we're out of time. We'll see you next week, tomorrow.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station. Dave and Dujanovic.
We have got a developing story out of the Centerville area that we have been following all morning long here at KSL News Radio. There was a front-runner train that collided with a car that we think was in a car accident, somehow ended up on the tracks up in the Centerville area. It shut down front-runner, at least for a time. The last I heard, front-runner was back up and running, but perhaps running behind schedule this morning. There's certainly going to be some delays, so you'll want to check the schedule if you take Front Runner. But we want to get live out to John Wojcik, KSL News Radio's John Wojcik, out on the scene this morning as we await a news conference. John, what do you know?
Good morning, Debbie. Yeah, right now, as far as what we know is that it has happened at approximately 6:50 this morning, and like you said, a situation where a vehicle ended up on the tracks. We still don't know how that vehicle got on the tracks. Hopefully we'll find out more about that soon. But kind of this heroic trooper stepped in and what sounds like the last minute pulled that individual out of the vehicle. The train did collide with the car, but no injuries. We did see the individual that was pulled out of the vehicle here. I'm out at the UHP office in Farmington. The individual from that car spoke with KSL TV and just said pretty much, "I'm sore, but no injuries to speak of," and extremely lucky that he got out of there in time. So hopefully coming up soon here, we'll find out more about how that car got on the tracks and just how this trooper was able to spot the vehicle and get that individual out in time.
John Wojcik, live on the scene for us this morning. We're awaiting that news conference. John, as soon as that news conference starts, we will come back to you live.
Your voice, your vote, 2020.
A hot topic in last night's Democratic presidential debate, Medicare for All. Let's recap what that means. Get rid of premiums, copays, deductibles, and move more toward a universal health care system across the U.S.
How much is it going to cost? Nobody has a great question or answer to that question, and the few people that have tried to dive into it and see what it really costs, it's not billions. It's not even a trillion or two. It is tens of trillions of dollars. So how is that going to be better for me? That's my question.
Let's bring in Boyd Matheson of KSL News Radio. We want to talk about the breakdown on this, and I've got the numbers here. We're going to go over those in just a minute. But really, where I think the big breakdown last night was with Elizabeth Warren's non-answer and how she plans to assess the cost onto, you know, families.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what Elizabeth Warren realized is how hard it is to be the front runner, because suddenly everybody is aiming at you. And so, you know, when she was in the lower tier, she was able to just talk about things like Medicare for All in these sweeping generalities. And everybody was like, "Oh, she's a fighter. She's fighting for me. She's fighting for us." And she gained some traction there. But now you got to make the numbers add up, as you said, Dave. And nobody sees any way that these numbers actually add up.
In fact, as you were saying that, it just popped into my mind, Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
He was really going after her. I want to play a little bit of that interaction from Mayor Pete.
"Your signature, Senator, is to have a plan for everything except this. No plan has been laid out to explain how a multi-trillion dollar hole in this Medicare for All plan that Senator Warren is putting forward is supposed to get filled in."
So let's be clear. Whenever someone hears the term Medicare for all who want it, understand what that really means. It's Medicare for all who can afford it. And that's the problem we've got. Medicare for all is the gold standard.
It may be the gold standard, but it may cost piles and piles of gold.
Yeah.
I just wanted to scream, answer the question.
Yeah.
Answer the question. And she avoided the question with a spin.
She never got to it.
She never answered how much this is going to cost me.
No, she didn't. And she never even got to the point of Mayor Buttigieg was really pushing to say, what is this going to mean for the average family? Are there all of their costs going to go up and down? Are their taxes going to go up and down? And she continued to deflect that and just get to, we're fighting for everyone.
Well, I think there was a few things. When she was describing it, she said the wealthy, and apparently the wealthy are even richer than we even thought, because they're going to pay off the student debt. They're going to, you know, let everyone go to college for free. But the most expensive by far is the Medicare for All. She said, so the wealthy are going to pay. The large corporations are going to start paying their fair share. And I was in a meeting yesterday to learn about our benefits, right, and our health care at DMBA. And I was blown away with how much our employer is paying, what portion they're paying. And Boyd, it was $1,700 a month.
Yeah.
How could they possibly pay more?
Yeah, that's right. And the interesting thing, too, there were several other candidates, Amy Klobuchar, one of them, who kept coming back and saying, look, there's a lot of union workers who are counting on their unions being able to help negotiate those kind of contracts and those kind of benefits. And so they're not excited about it either. So thinking this is just a nice shift to the left and a way to appease the base, maybe true. But I think a lot of the candidates are starting to say, hey, we can't just worry about trying to make the people on the far left happy. We got to make sure we can get those people in the center left and center right who will actually determine who becomes president of the United States.
Okay, so let's get out the calculator. And I think Senator Bernie Sanders gets the gold star for offering us more specifics when it came to doing the math on this. His plan calls for 7.5% increase on income-based, increase for employers, and then a 4% income tax increase for families. So let's listen in to more of that discussion during last night's debate between
Mayor
Pete.
No plan has been laid out to explain how a multi-trillion dollar hole in this Medicare for All plan that Senator Warren is putting forward is supposed to get filled in.
By somebody who wrote the damn bill, as I said, at the end of the day, the overwhelming majority of people will save money on their health care bills. But I do think it is appropriate to acknowledge that taxes will go up.
So here's the math. A Utah family, two people working is what I figured, $120,000 a year income. They would pay about $5,000 a year in taxes under Sanders' plan, which works out to be about $450 bucks a month. Okay, right now the average family pays around $350 to $800 a month in premiums alone, and their average deductible $4,500 a year. So there's a big if here, though, Boyd. And that is, will this plan cost a lot more than what the candidates are describing to us right now?
Well, the one thing I know for certain is I've never seen a government program run under budget, especially a big one. I mean, even just looking at the rollout of Obamacare, even the website alone, they missed it by hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of what it actually cost to roll out, and it still didn't work. So my confidence in the numbers is pretty low to begin with. But I think the bigger thing, too, is you also have to look at what is that cutoff for the organizations, and how many mid-size organizations are going to feel this, and how much of those premiums are going to get passed down, not just to the big companies, but will be to those mid-size companies. And worst of all, to those small companies who are going to say, sorry, we can't provide you health care anymore. And remember, it's our entrepreneurs and small business owners that drive the economy, and that hurts the poor and the middle class the hardest if they get hit.
Okay, at 9:50, we're going to take your calls. Would you be willing to pay more income tax, about $5,000 a year more, to ditch your premiums, copays, and deductibles? 801-575-7668. Weigh in.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news.
Live with Greg Skordis. He's a former prosecutor. We're talking about an adoption scheme.
With Dave and Debbie.
These adoptive parents could lose their child.
That's exactly what could happen.
News at 5. Talk at 9. On KSL News Radio, Utah's news station.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.